The Fundamentals of Stargazing. Solar System Observing. The Planet Mars. The Allure of the Planet Mars. Mars is one of the four terrestrial planets of the solar system, along with Earth, Mercury, and Venus. But unlike the latter two rocky worlds, Mars comes close enough and looms large enough to allow us to see a tantalizing amount of surface detail and features, which have served to stimulate the popular imagination for centuries. William Herschel observed the waxing and waning of the polar caps on Mars in the late 18th century and concluded, correctly, that the axis of the planet was tilted by 25.2 degrees, very similar to Earth's tilt of 23.4 degrees, which meant that Mars experiences seasons. He also deduced the rotation rate of the planet, a rate of 24 hours and 37 minutes, also very much like Earth. In the 19th century, the Italian astronomer Giovanni Schiaparelli reported detailed views of the planet's surface, including an apparent network of channels, or canali in Italian. These channels appeared to be connected by tiny dots, although both seemed to flash in and out of view during moments of steady seeing. Schiaparelli and many of his contemporaries suspected these features were illusory and hoped that better telescopes would reveal the true nature of the features on the surface of Mars. In the late 19th century, the wealthy and imaginative amateur astronomer Percival Lowell built a research-grade observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, to study the planet. Lowell Observatory remains there to this day. His optics were far better than Schiaparelli's, and he was no doubt aware of the possibility the canali were illusions. Yet Lowell claimed to not only see the canals clearly, he proposed they were evidence of an advanced civilization on the planet. He wrote prodigiously about the subject for popular audiences, which often set him at odds with professional astronomers of the day, none of whom could verify his observations. The possibility of life on Mars remained in the popular imagination until 1965, when the Mariner 4 spacecraft flew within 10,000 kilometers of Mars and imaged craters on the Martian surface. This was bad news for the prospects of life. Craters meant thin atmosphere and little erosion from wind or surface water. The story got more interesting in 1971 when Mariner 9 orbited the planet and captured thousands of images of craters, yes, but also massive volcanoes and what appeared to be dry riverbeds and flood zones and canyons, one of which was as long as the continental United States. There were no canals. These turned out to be optical illusions that plagued earthbound telescopic observers. From 1976 onward, starting with the American Viking landers, planetary scientists have dispatched an array of high-tech orbiters, landers, and rovers to search for evidence of water, methane, and other atmospheric gases and soil components that might give some evidence of life on the planet. None have resulted in any indication of life on Mars, but the geology, geography, and chemistry of the planet have become much better understood. The planet appears in many images to be remarkably Earth-like, looking much like a rocky desert landscape on Earth, with occasional evidence of winds, frosts, dust storms, and large quantities of frozen water in the polar caps. Much of this water presumably flowed on the surface long ago, creating many of the now dry rivers and canyons we still see. Because Mars is so cold and its atmospheric pressure so low, the water no longer flows and remains trapped in the polar caps and possibly underground. While Mars seems to be continually swamped and monitored by cutting-edge space hardware, it's still a splendid target for a small telescope. This ochre world is notoriously small and hard to observe visually, but it rewards the patient stargazer with sights unseen elsewhere in the solar system. In steady sky at high magnification, you get glimpses of a constantly changing planet with evidence of atmospheric clouds, fogs, dust, dark regions, of rock and craters, red deserts, and of course the polar caps, which grow and shrink with the seasons. Beginners are often disappointed with their first look at Mars in a telescope, but as your expertise grows, you will learn to see an astonishing amount of detail on the red planet when it approaches opposition. An overview of the planet Mars. As one of the five bright planets visible to the unaided eye, Mars has perplexed and tantalized stargazers since antiquity. Its ochre-red color, a consequence of iron oxide in its surface sands, prompted classical astronomers to name the planet after the Roman god of war. Mars moves relatively quickly across the sky compared to the other superior planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, at an average distance from the Sun of about 1.52 astronomical units. Mars moves in a complete orbit around the Sun in 687 days, about 1.88 Earth years. Mars is the outermost of the four terrestrial planets. Among the eight major planets of our solar system, only Mercury is smaller. Mars has a radius at the equator of about 3,400 kilometers, about 53% that of Earth. This gives it a surface area about 28% that of Earth. But because Earth is mostly covered by oceans, the area of the land masses on each planet is about the same. Mars has some 15% of Earth's volume and just 11% of its mass, so it's a little less dense. Mercury has a higher density than Mars and a smaller radius, so its surface gravity is about the same as Mars, that is, about 37.6% the surface gravity of Earth. Whereas Mercury has no atmosphere and a moon-like surface, and Venus is shrouded in dense, poisonous clouds, Mars has a surface far more similar to Earth. It does have ancient craters and plains like our moon, but it also features giant shield volcanoes far larger than any on Earth, windswept deserts, polar ice caps made of frozen carbon dioxide and water, and a thin atmosphere of mostly carbon dioxide. Like Earth, Mars has a dense molten core of iron and nickel, a silicate mantle, and a thin rocky crust. The crust is thicker on average than Earth's, and the mantle does not support plate tectonics. While there was obvious volcanic activity on Mars billions of years ago, such activity has largely subsided. Mars currently has no global magnetic field or magnetosphere, so it is peppered directly with solar radiation. The ancient rocks on the surface of Mars have been magnetized, however, so it's likely the planet had a magnetic field in its early days. Surface rocks on the planet, as on Earth, contain silicon, oxygen, and traces of metals. Much of the rock appears to be volcanic in nature. The reddish color of the planet is a consequence of surface dust rich in iron oxide or rust. As William Herschel noted, Mars's rotational axis is tilted by 25.4 degrees, so the planet has seasons and the polar caps grow and shrink with the seasons. Most of the caps consist of a layer of carbon dioxide frozen out of the atmosphere. The northern polar cap has a layer of frozen carbon dioxide just 1 meter thick, while the southern polar cap has a layer about 8 meters thick. Underneath these layers is a base of water ice about 2 kilometers to 3 kilometers thick. Each cap is in total darkness for about half the year. When summer brings sunlight to a cap, it sublimates carbon dioxide and some water into the atmosphere at a rapid rate, leading to strong winds and dust storms that flow from the poles to lower latitudes. Like Venus and Earth, Mars has an atmosphere. It's thin, with about the same average pressure as Earth's atmosphere at an altitude of about 110,000 feet, or about 0.6% of the average pressure of Earth's atmosphere at sea level. Because of this low pressure, liquid water cannot exist on the planet for any length of time. Mars's atmosphere is some 96% carbon dioxide with large traces of argon and nitrogen, and lesser traces of oxygen and water. Clouds of ice form in the atmosphere occasionally, and windstorms sometimes kick up locally, or on occasion globally, such that the entire planet is shrouded in dust. Such storms seem to occur when the planet is closest to the Sun. Even during periods of calm, the atmosphere is rich in fine dust, which gives it an orange-pink color from the surface. From Earth, it appears the entire planet is wrapped in a faint bluish haze. The scant atmosphere retains little heat, and Mars gets less than half the sunlight as Earth, so the planet is colder than Earth. Its surface temperatures range from minus 140 degrees Celsius at the poles to a surprisingly warm 35 degrees near the equator when Mars is closest to the Sun. Mars has two tiny moons called Phobos and Deimos, which have diameters of just 22 kilometers and 13 kilometers, respectively. These two bodies are too small to pull themselves into spheres, and they are unlikely to have formed together with the planet. Most theories suggest they are captured asteroids, but this is uncertain. Phobos zips around the planet in just over 7 hours, while Deimos takes about 30 hours to revolve around Mars. Because of tidal effects, Phobos is slowly coming closer to Mars and may impact the surface or shatter into a ring structure around the planet in the next 50 million years. The moons were discovered in 1877 by Asaph Hall with the large refractor at the U.S. Naval Observatory. They are not detectable visually in small telescopes. Martian geography. Like the moon, Mars is sectioned into highlands and lowlands. The surface of the highland region, which are predominant in the planet's southern hemisphere, are older and still display heavy cratering from impacts in the early days of the solar system. The lowlands have evidently been flooded with lava during heavy volcanic activity. The craters here have been covered and few new ones have been created, since impact events became far less common after about 3 billion years ago. The bifurcation of the planet into northern lava-covered lowlands and southern highlands means Mars is remarkably asymmetric. No one knows why. Most curious is a bulging region known as Tharsis, which is located just north of the equator in the western hemisphere of the planet. As large as North America, Tharsis appears to be a volcanic plateau about 6 miles high. To its west lie three enormous volcanoes collectively known as the Tharsis Mantis. West of Tharsis lies Olympic Mons, the largest volcano in the solar system, which reaches some 22 kilometers above the surrounding surface and covers an area about the size of the state of Arizona. To the east of Tharsis lies the remarkable continent-sized crack called Valles Marineris. Scientists suspect Tharsis has been pushed up by a magma-rich hotspot below the planet's crust. Some of this magma remained below the surface, while some erupted to form the massive Tharsis Mantis shield volcanoes. Since Mars has no plate tectonics, the volcanoes never move away from the hotspots from which they formed. The Hawaiian Islands are also a form of shield volcano. The surface of Mars is classified into two types of regions, the lighter red-orange regions covered with rusty dust and the darker regions, which are large areas of exposed volcanic rock. During early days of telescopic observation, the light regions were thought to be continents, so they were given names that describe land masses. Major regions of this type include Elysium Planitia, the Elysium Plain, Arabia Terra, land of Arabia, the circular Hellas Planitia, plains of Greece, and Amazonas Planitia, the Amazon Plains. The darker regions were named after seas, lakes, or other watery features. So there is the very dark Mare Erythraeum, Arabian Sea, in the south, Mare Acidalium, named after a legendary fountain, in the north, and most strikingly the large wedge-shaped feature named Syrtis Major, named after the Gulf of Sidra off the coast of Libya. Syrtis Major is the most obvious dark region on the Martian surface. Many of these dark regions appear to early telescopic observers to change size during the Martian year. They suspected this was caused by changes in vegetation or rainfall. It turns out the dark regions do not change their dimensions, but instead occasionally are obscured by atmospheric dust. Schiaparelli, and especially Lowell, noted the regions called Solus Lacus, Lake of the Sun, just south of what we now know to be Valles Marineris, seem to wax and wane with the seasons. Lowell observed many illusory canals converging in this region and speculated it was the capital of the Martian civilization. Solus Lacus is part of what's now called Solus Plenum. Observers often remark that these dark regions appear green. They are not. They are gray-brown and simply appear green because of the contrast with the red-orange surroundings. In some images of Mars from space or from Earth-based telescopes, whitish features are visible. These are usually cloud formations. They are associated with low-lying regions where clouds collect, or in the vicinities of the peaks of volcanoes, where warm air rises up on the side of the mountain and condenses into clouds. The map at the above link gives you a very good overview of the surface features of Mars as you would see them from orbit, not with a telescope from Earth. Another view of the same features is available at this link. And of course, Google Mars is a great tool to explore the surface of the red planet. Oppositions of Mars. Like all superior planets, Mars is best observed when it is near opposition, that is, opposite the Sun in the sky as seen from Earth. That's when the planet is nearest to Earth and therefore easiest to observe. The period in the weeks before, during, and after opposition of Mars is often called an apparition. The slower-moving outer planets, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, arrive at opposition every year plus a few days or weeks. That's because Earth moves around the Sun much faster than these distant worlds. Even Jupiter moves just 1/12 of the way around the Sun before Earth catches up to it again, so the oppositions of Jupiter are about 13 months apart. With Mars, it is a little more complicated. Mars moves quickly around the Sun, making a full orbit in just 1.88 years, 687 days, while Earth moves even faster on its inside track closer to the Sun. The upshot is that it takes, on average, about 780 days, about 2 years and 2 months, for the faster-moving Earth to catch up to Mars such that it is at opposition. But not all Martian oppositions are alike. Because the orbit of Mars is substantially elliptical, there is a large variation in the distance from Earth to Mars at opposition. If opposition occurs when Mars is closest to the Sun, the two planets can get as close as 35 million miles, 56 million kilometers, and the planet grows to a respectable 25 arc seconds in apparent diameter, and a magnitude of minus 2.8. When opposition occurs at aphelion, Mars gets to within just 60 million miles, 100 million kilometers, and subtends an angle of just 15 arc seconds. Jupiter at opposition, by comparison, grows to about 50 arc seconds in apparent diameter. Every 15 or 17 years, Mars reaches opposition within a few weeks of perihelion, which gives a particularly good apparition. The closest approach of Mars to Earth in the past 60,000 years occurred in August 2003 when Mars came within 55,758,006 kilometers. Since then, Mars and Earth have been getting further apart at opposition, though the situation is slowly improving. A table showing details for the next few oppositions is below. As Mars nears opposition, it begins a period of retrograde motion which lasts a little more than 2 months. During this time, it appears to move backwards, westward, in a looping motion relative to the background stars, before slowing down, stopping, and moving eastward again. At conjunction, when Mars is on the other side of the Sun from Earth, the planet can be some 400 million kilometers away, and can shrink to a tiny, almost featureless disk just 3 or 4 arc seconds across. Observing Mars in a telescope. During an apparition, Mars grows in brightness to magnitude minus 1.4 to minus 2.8. The color of the planet will be lovely to the unaided eye, and especially so in binoculars. But to see any detail on the surface, you will need a telescope. Of course, the best telescope to use is the one you already have. Longer focal lengths give you higher magnification and bigger image with a given eyepiece, so if you have a short focal length scope, you will want to use shorter focal length eyepieces, or a Barlow lens to get higher magnification. Refractors, which have no central obstructions, tend to give better contrast, but larger aperture reflectors can give better resolution of fine detail because of their larger apertures. You will want to use a magnification of at least 150 power to get a decent view of Mars. This magnification will make the planet look just a little larger than the full moon appears to your unaided eye. Work your way higher if your equipment and seeing conditions allow, up to a maximum magnification of 50 to 60 times the aperture of your telescope in inches. As for eyepieces, again, use what you have. The best eyepieces for observing planets have simple designs with few optical elements and a moderate field of view. You don't need $400-plus eyepieces for planets. A good quality plossal or orthoscopic eyepiece will do just fine. Some other observing tips for seeing Mars. Acclimatize your telescope. Bring your scope out at least 30 to 60 minutes before you plan to observe. By cooling it down to the ambient temperature, you'll prevent air currents inside your scope from degrading the image of the planet. Pick a night with steady air. Seeing is critical when observing Mars, so pick a night when the air is steady and the stars aren't twinkling too much. Vigorously twinkling stars mean poor seeing, even if the sky is clear. Sometimes nights with a little haze have steadier air than crystal clear nights. Observe frequently. Because Mars rotates every 24 hours and 37 minutes, you'll see almost the same face of the planet at the same time each night, so extend your sessions over several hours on one night, or at the same time over the course of a month to see both sides of the planet. To get better contrast of the planet's surface, try a few colored filters if you have them. Here are some suggested filters for Mars observing sessions. Orange, number 21 or number 23A, increases contrast between light and dark features and penetrates hazes and most clouds. If you pick just one filter for observing Mars, get a number 21. Yellow, number 12, and number 15 can brighten desert regions and darken bluish and brownish features. Red, number 25, and number 29 gives maximum contrast of surface features, enhances fine surface details, dust cloud boundaries, and polar cap boundaries. Green, number 57, darkens red and blue features, enhances frost patches, surface fogs, and polar projections. Blue-green, number 64, helps detect ice fogs and polar hazes. Blue, number 80A, number 38, number 38A, and deep blue, number 46, number 47, shows atmospheric clouds, discrete white clouds and limb hazes, equatorial cloud bands, polar cloud hoods, and darkens reddish features. Magenta, number 30 and number 32, will enhance red and blue features and darken green ones. Also improves polar region features and some Martian clouds. Also, you need to manage your expectations. No matter how big your scope, Mars won't look anything like images you see in the magazines or astronomy websites. In a small telescope, Mars looks tiny and gives up little detail at a glance. Astronomy writer Timothy Ferris said of observing the planet, "Observing Mars through a telescope is like watching the dance of the seven veils. Seldom are you certain of exactly what you've seen, but it's enough to pique your interest." The most important tool for observing Mars is patience. You must look with patience and wait for moments of good seeing when the air is steady and tiny detail emerges. Even on Mars's small disk, you can see an astonishing amount of detail if you look carefully, on and off for long periods of time and wait for steady air. What to look for in a small telescope? In a small telescope, only the largest geographical features are visible on the surface of Mars. You won't see any craters, volcanoes, or even the enormous Valles Marineris. If you are really fortunate, you might see a small white dot that marks clouds above Olympus Mons, but this is an infrequent sight. When you first start observing Mars during an apparition, you must try to find which major features are visible. Then, expect your view to change slowly from night to night. Mars rotates in the same direction as Earth every 24 hours and 37 minutes, just a little longer than it takes Earth. If you observe Mars with a direct view with the north up and east to the left, the planet will appear to move from left to right. If you view through a star diagonal with a Schmidt-Cassegrain telescope or refractor, the image will be flipped left to right. With a Newtonian, the view will be inverted up, down, and left, right. If you observe Mars at the same time every night, features on the surface will appear to move out of view 37 minutes earlier each night. The overall effect makes it appear Mars makes a full backward revolution every 40 days. That's backward in the sense that the planet appears to rotate in the opposite sense from Earth. The image above from Sky and Telescope gives you a number of faces of the planet as it rotates during a Martian day. As you first look at the planet during an apparition, find out which features you are looking at. Then, from hour to hour and night to night, you can follow the motion of these features on the surface of the planet. In this image, south is up, so if you are using optics that do not invert the image, you must make mental accommodation for this map. To get a real-time view of what is visible on Mars, use the Mars Observing Tool at Sky and Telescope magazine at the following link. Here you can specify your time of day and date, as well as your preference for view to match your telescope, inverted, like with a Newtonian telescope, mirror reversed, as with a Schmidt-Cassegrain or refractor with a star diagonal, or direct view with an erect image telescope, not a common situation for astronomers. Then this JavaScript tool generates a small map to show you what to look for. It also gives you the expected apparent magnitude, diameter in arcseconds, and other data. This map application also assumes you are observing from Earth's northern hemisphere, where the north pole of Mars points toward north in the direction of the sky. If you are in the southern hemisphere, then this image must be inverted again. The key features to look for on Mars with a small telescope include the arrow-shaped dark region of Syrtis Major, the southern dark features including Mare Terenum, Mare Erythraeum, Mare Serenum. Also look for the circular reddish-orange feature Hellas, the broad ochre regions of rusty sand marked by Arabia and Eden Terra, Tharsis and Arcadia, Amazonas and Elysium, all of which are at equatorial and temperate latitudes. In the north of Mars, look for the dark areas Utopia Planitia and Mare Acidalium. And of course, look for the polar caps. At a glance, you will immediately see which polar cap is most easily visible. And that's about it. Looking at Mars, like looking at any object through a telescope, or learning to play the guitar or to windsurf, is a learned skill that combines the mind, the body, and the imagination. It takes practice and patience, so please don't get frustrated and just keep at it.